नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सार्यं वीर्यं धृतस्तेजस् त्वागश्चात्मजयाशमः रामयता प्रसादश्च सत्यं च शत्रुलक्षणम् Translation. To be influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, to control the bodily necessities, to be forgiving, to be attached to the brahminical nature, and to always be jolly and truthful. These are the symptoms of the kshatriyas. Text number 23. Deva Gura Vichut Bhakti Sri Vargam Prayaposanam Astikyam Udyamo Nityam Naipunyam Vaishya Lakshanam. Translation. Being always devoted to the demigods, the spiritual master and the supreme lord Vishnu, endeavoring for advancement in religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification, that is, Dharma, Artha, and Kama, believing in the words of the spiritual master and scripture, and always endeavoring with expertise in earning money, these are the symptoms of the Vaishya. Text 24. Sudrasya sannatim saucham seva swamin yamayayam ammantram yagya yeshtreyam Satyam Govi Prarakshanam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Offering obeisances to the higher sections of society, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth and giving all protection to the cows and the brahmanas, these are the symptoms of a sudra. Purport. It is everyone's experience that workers or servants are generally accustomed to stealing. Hare Krishna. A first-class servant is one who does not steal. Here it is recommended that the first-class sudra must be very clean, must not steal or speak lies, must always render service to his master. A sudra may attend sacrifices in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies along with his master, but he should not utter the mantras, for these may be uttered only by the members of the higher sections of society. Unless one is completely pure and has been raised to the standard of a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya, in other words, unless one is dvija, or twice born, the chanting of mantras will not be fruitful. End of purport. Om Agya. So these series of verses, the chapter is called The Perfect Society. The four classes. It's describing the different characteristics, activities, and qualities of the various svarnas. Yesterday we heard about the qualities of the brahmanas. Today, without purports, we hear the qualities of the kshatriya and the vaishya. The Prabhupada takes time and gives a purport on the sudras. Kalo sudra sambhavan. The scriptures say that in this age, actually, in order for one to actually perform the activities of the varnas, one has to be qualified. And nobody in this age is really qualified. Therefore, there has to be training. Everyone is basically Sudra. That's the statement, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. In this age of Kali, the characteristics of the population is Sudra. What is it? Sub. Kalo Yasmin Jiga. Manda Sumanda Mateyo Manda Bhagya Upadrutiha. In this age of Kali, people are lazy, unlucky, misguided, always disturbed, always quarrelsome. Even if they take to a they are looking for a spiritual life, what happens? They wind up in the wrong spiritual process. They usually find a cheating guru or a process that is just all about material life. How to improve your material life. That's basically what the spiritual advertising is these days. Take up spiritual life and you can have a better material life. Pretty much, you can, if you just look around, you'll see that's what it's all about. So, this age is very, people are very disqualified. So no one can actually practice devotional service. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. And he's made everyone qualified. Or he's allowed no qualifications to be the qualification. That the only qualification is that somehow or other one has to be eager or interested. And then one can take to the process of elevation. We're not interested in becoming Kshatriyas. We're not interested in becoming Vaishyas. We're not interested in becoming better Sudras. And we're not so much interested simply in the activities of a Brahmin. Although the Brahminical activities are foundational in the pursuit of spiritual practice. And that's why they're given so much emphasis. But ultimately, we're interested in becoming engaged in Daivi Vanashram, or the system of activities which is transcendental to all the Varnas, Varnas and Ashrams. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Sudra. He took the role of sannyas. He says, I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a Grihastha, he was Grihastha also. He said, I'm not a Vanprastha, I'm not a Brahmachari. What am I? Gopi Bhattar Bhattaga Malayor, Dasa Dasa Anudas. He's explaining what is the identity of the living entity, using himself as the example, that the living entity is simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. And to qualify or to act in that capacity, one has to take up the process of devotional service. Here it mentions that the Sudras can't chant mantras. Now in this case, it's mentioning what mantras it's talking about. It's not talking about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's talking about all the other mantras for purification. The various types of pujas, the various types of austerities and homas, the different types of mantras that are uttered by the higher, what we say, higher classes of society. But those mantras are really, some of them are in the context of karmakanda, better range for better material arrangements. And others are jnanakanda, in order to elevate oneself to the platform of being freed from material activities, liberation. But the sutras can't even utter these mantras. But Lord Chaitanya says the sutras can chant Hare Krishna. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya has given the process of chanting Hare Krishna even to those who can't chant the lower mantras. So this is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. In this age, we're not interested in any kind of activities within the Varnas and Ashrams. Of course, we might say certain characteristics and qualities are there within the living entity's nature. And that's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. There are four types of people. The different varnas are there. But to use one's propensity in devotional service makes those propensities transcendental. So a Vaishya and a Kshatriya and a Brahmin can perform their activities, but unless they dovetail their activities in the service of the Lord, it's still within the context of the three modes of material nature. The Sudras in their modes of ignorance. The Vaishyas are in the modes of ignorance and passion. The Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion, and the Brahmins are in the mode of goodness. So it's still within the context of the three modes of meditate and material nature. And Krishna tells Arjuna, Triguna Visaya Veda, Nistriguna Bhavarjuna, Nir Dvandro Nityasadvasto, Nir Yoga Shema Advava. He says that the Vedas, the Vedic knowledge, speaking about the different varnas and ashrams, are within the context of the material energy, the three modes of material energy. He says, rise above these modes, be transcendental, be free from all anxieties and dualities, and be situated in the self. In other words, engage in devotional service. And beginning, the process of beginning a devotional service is, the process is to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And one doesn't have to go through any forms of purification. One doesn't have to have any requirements. One doesn't have to have any qualifications. One doesn't even have to be born in a good situation. The only qualification for chanting Hare Krishna is that you have to have a tongue and two ears. I think most people qualify, at least. You might say you have to use them too, not just decorate the body with them. You know. They're nice decorations, but you have to use them. And that in this age, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the supreme activity within society. Yamaraj, when he was speaking to his servants, the Yamadutas, after they had come back from their frustrated attempt to take the soul of Ajamya, they wanted to know who was, you know, Vishnu. And they thought that Yamaraj was the supreme. Yamaraj had goes on verse after verse instructing his followers about his position in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he goes on to describe what is the process of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he starts talking about devotional service. And in one verse, he explains that of all the activities within human society, devotional service is topmost. There's nothing higher than devotional service. Not taking care of families, not giving in charity, not establishing, you know, superior social and political arrangements. None of these things can even compare within one slight drop of the auspiciousness and the glory and the benefit that one can receive just by performing one activity within devotional service. That's how powerful devotional service is. And devotional service is so multifaceted. There's so many aspects of devotional service. But then again, within that context of describing the glories of devotional service, he says that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the best of all activities. Out of all the activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the best. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, in the seventh canto, also, fifth chapter, verses 22 and 23, Prahlad Maharaj describes the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Atma, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. He mentions the nine processes of devotional service. And then Prabhupada describes very carefully the activities of all the different devotional services. What comprises Smaranam, what comprises... That purport is the longest purport within the Bhagavatam. It's about 14 pages. And Prabhupada really goes into very fine details in describing some of these activities. But he qualifies each of these processes. He says, anyone who performs any of these processes, they must be accompanied by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in this age. Because without the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all the other activities really will not elevate one to the perfectional stage. One has to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because this is Lord Chaitanya's desire, this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, this is Lord Chaitanya's mission, is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So one has to chant Hare Krishna. I remember I was traveling in Germany. And I was there at the one temple in Germany, and the pujari called me in. The temple president called me in. He says, Maharaj, we got a problem. We have a wonderful pujari. She's so good at puja. And she does her puja so nicely, and she's enthusiastic, and she's always thinking how to make it nicer. But she refuses to chant Hare Krishna. She says that there are 9 processes of devotional service, and Archanam is one of them. And therefore, each of the 9 processes are equally as good. So I'm doing Archanam. I don't have to chant. So he asked me, what should I do? Well, I said, and then I described what Prabhupada said, that each of the 9 processes must be accompanied, 8 processes must be accompanied by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I explained. And I said, she'll go on for some time, but Krishna will kick her out of that service in due course of time unless she chants. So try to encourage her to chant in some way. He said, I tried everything. She just won't listen. I said, all right, let her go on with her service anyway. So she went on with her service for some time, and then later on he called me, said, you were right. She left. She gave up her service. Because without chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can't purify the heart. Jeto Darvana Marjanam. The heart becomes purified, the mind becomes cleansed of all material desires. So everything, really, as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned so many times, and he's emphasized that everything, that all, practically all of your spiritual advancement depends on the quality of your chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I know this sounds like a very simple class. We all know that. Everyone chants Hare Krishna, and we like to chant Hare Krishna. But I find as I travel around in different places that this subject matter of the holy name seems to be the most important subject matter, because the tendency is to get a little, what we say, routine, lax, mechanical, and sometimes even neglectful in our daily chanting. Maybe not so much here. I was very much appreciating how enthusiastic the devotees are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra here during japa time. But still, we should also always remember that this aspect of devotional service is really the perfection of all aspects. And to chant with, there is 2 characteristics that are important in chanting. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized these 2 things. With attention and with helplessness. These are the 2 most important. When Prabhupada was asked, what should we do when we chant? What is the character? What Prabhupada said, just hear. In other words, try to access, or what we say, attention. And the other thing is, Prabhupada mentions that we should chant like a child crying out for his mother. In a state of helplessness, the child only knows the mother. Have you ever seen little children? Little babies? I've seen this. It's an amazing example. How when the mother sometimes goes and leaves the room, the child starts crying. And even though there are so many other ladies, and they're holding the baby, and the baby is being nicely taken care of by the other ladies, the baby's still not happy. It still cries. I saw this. And I watched this. And they were passing it to one lady after another, and they were all trying to make the child cry, stop crying. And I was giving a lecture, so I was hoping somebody help. Finally, the mother came back. And as soon as the mother came back, the child went into the mother's arm and immediately stopped crying. It's the nature of love, the nature of connection in love. So Prabhupada uses that example, which is a very, very, what we say, perfect example of the position of how we should chant the holy names in a mood of helplessness and in a mood of attention, both. When we chant in the mood of helplessness, then Krishna actually comes more in his name, and then attention becomes more and more easier and more realized through the process. We have to see that this 2 hours or 2.5 hours or whatever times it takes is really the foundation of our spiritual advancement. Everything really situates nicely on the chantings of the holy name. We should never think, I have to get my rounds done. Radha Swami talks about this many times in his lectures. He says, if you think in terms of getting your rounds done, you will get your rounds done. And that's it. You'll get very little out of that type of chanting. But we think in terms of schedules, we think in terms of other activities, we have to get our rounds done. But the way to overcome that is that don't think in terms of getting your rounds done. Think in terms of how nicely you can chant within the allotted period of time that you allot for chanting. In other words, if you say, okay, I'm going to chant at this time, so how many rounds you get done in that time? That's nice. Not that I have to get them all done in that time and I have to go as fast as I can and I have to... No. The mood of chanting is the mood of helplessness, it's the mood of devotion, it's a mood of prayer. So the holy name really is everything. I was just reading something yesterday in Srila Prabhupada. He says, like, it's a long quote. To remember it exactly is a little difficult. Prabhupada says, sometimes some rocks fall into the river and it causes some agitation in the river. So sometimes in our spiritual life, there's some agitation, some mental agitation, some difficulty, maybe even some conflict between devotees. He says, if you try to, you know, stir up the water to find that pebble, you just create more agitation. Better just to sit down and allow your mind to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and then become peaceful and happy. He says, we can go anywhere and simply chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and be satisfied. We can be satisfied simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna comes with the society of devotees or the association of devotees. Everything we do is in the association of devotees. And that's the other aspect of devotional service that is fundamental to everything we do. It's chanting Hare Krishna and Sadhu Sangha. Association with Vaishnavas. Because the quality of our association with Vaishnava, it also affects the quality of our chanting. And the quality of our chanting also helps to enhance the quality of our association. They're reciprocal. You can't separate them. If you try to separate them, you will find that it becomes an awkward situation. I know devotees, or some persons who practice chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And they're chanting for years and years and years, but they really don't take much opportunities to associate with devotees. And they just chant. But I can see that really they're not so happy. They're actually not really moving forward in their spiritual practice. So chant in the association of Vaishnavas and develop the mood of service to the Vaishnavas, which increases the quality of our chanting. Chanting is everything. But then again, really, to chant the holy names means to really become purified, to chant in the mood of what we say, offenselessness. There's four stages of a chanting. There's the offensive stage. That's why every day in the morning program, we recite the 10 offenses. It's not like we have to fill in some time period, so we squeeze in some prayers just to give a break between one function and another. It's not like that. We recite these prayers to the Shikshastakam prayers. These prayers to Shikshastakam are non-different than the holy name. They prepare one's consciousness for chanting the holy names nicely. They're the embodiment of the holy name. There's no difference between Shikshastakam and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had pointed that out very clearly. So here's one way to increase what we say both our eagerness, our enthusiasm, and the quality of our chanting is that when we sit down and chant these prayers to the Shikshastakam, and then right after that we mention the 10 offenses. But out of all the offenses, which offense is the most one we should be most concerned about? I mean, they're all important. Maybe that's not a good statement. But what offense should we work on to help improve the quality of our chanting? Who knows? Now I'll ask you. The last offense, the 11th offense, the inattentive chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that inattention in chanting leads to the tendency to commit other offenses. Interesting. Now, when you're chanting attentively, you decrease the propensity to commit other offenses. So therefore, he says, you want to increase your devotional service, here's where you should put your attention, your energy, on increasing the quality of attentive chanting. Because chanting is calling Krishna. I mean, to access attention is a struggle. It's a struggle with the mind. The mind is going this way and that way. But Prabhupada said, never mind. Forget about your mind. He said, just hear, that's all. He said, what is the question of mind? Don't listen to it, that's all. Just turn it off. You know, I don't know what you would say. And in India, one of the features of India that I experience in every place I go, this is not a criticism, it's just the way things are. And that is, there is a lot of noise. There's always construction, there's always cars, it's always so loud, you know. And so one of the things that I do is carry my set of earplugs with me wherever I go. It helps. So you have to put your earplugs into the mind too. So that mind doesn't, you know, drag you into some kind of fantasy or some kind of unnecessary thought process. And so just very carefully hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the holy name, again, we can go back. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Punya Sudya Nitya Mukha Binatvam Nami Namino Binatvam Nami Namino. The holy name of Krishna is non-different than Krishna. I mean, we say that, oh yes, Krishna's name is non-different than Krishna, but can we really understand that? Can anybody understand that? I mean, self-realized souls. But to understand that Krishna is non-different than his name, you see the deity, you see Radha Gopinath, you see Gaur Nithai, you see Nachi, you see the beautiful forms of the Lord, you look at them, you say, yes, that is the Lord. But then when you're that same Lord who is there in his name, that sound vibration is non-different than the Lord. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes in the old days, when devotees would give Bhagavatam class, he would sit and listen to class. He would have his senior devotees sit and give class. And boy, that was I never happened to me, but some my godbrother said that was the most difficult thing to give class, and Prabhupada is sitting there listening to your class. You just want to run out the door. You know? But one time, one senior devotee was giving a class, and he was speaking about the glories of the holy name, and he said, "Krishna is in his name." And Prabhupada immediately stopped him and said, "Where in his name is he?" He corrected him. Krishna is not in his name. Krishna is his name. There is a difference. So the holy name is none different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with that, when we approach the holy name, we're approaching Krishna. The glories of the holy name are, the shastras are filled. Kalaya dosha nide rajan asti eko mahaguna kirtanaiva krishnasyam mukta sangam padam vaja. Pariksit Maharaj is hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is giving the understanding that in this age of Kali, it's so bad. An ocean, dosha nidi, it's an ocean of faults. So many faults. Everywhere you turn. On all levels of society, interpersonal, personal, extrapersonal, impersonal, outside of the impersonal. It's always, there's so many problems, so many difficulties. It's just a bad age. And guess what? It's just begun. And it's getting worse. This is Kali Yuga. So, but there is asti eko mahagunaha, mahagun, it's one boon. In this age, the chanting of the holy name is like one gigantic bright light within the midst of all this darkness. So in any case, in anywhere, we can always take shelter of Krishna's name and become elevated, become purified, and become protected, become insulated from the... what we say, the atmosphere of Kali Yuga. So therefore, we should practice chanting. And Prabhupada said, 16 rounds on beads, innumerable rounds off the beads. He didn't say, okay, you chanted 16 rounds, that's all you have to do. No. He actually went on to explain that this chanting process means satatam, always. We say we have to fix a number. Prabhupada said we have to make some numerical vow in order to develop the mood of constant chanting. Numerical vows, daily numerical vows, situate your consciousness in the process where you develop a taste to always chant. That's why there's numbers. When you follow a numerical vow, and gradually, through the process of purification, you develop a taste. Then you can start. Then you want to chant constantly. Without that numerical vow, you can't come to the process of satatam, or always remembering Krishna. That's why the standard is there. So we follow that, but the goal is satatam, always to remember Krishna by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Idi sodasakam nam nam kali kamasa nasanam nata patrayo nayo sarva vedishu drishyate. That one can search through all Vedic knowledge and one cannot find a more sublime and easy process than the chanting of these 16 names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If everything in your life falls apart, your wife leaves you, your money leaves you, your health leaves you, your best friend leaves you, the leaves leave you, everything... You still have the holy name, so there's no loss. So the holy name is the supreme umbrella for happiness and protection, mercy. So if we can always be conscious of Krishna and in the form of his holy name. Of course, there is kirtan, And there's japa and there's also kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya, he always performed kirtan. He was always performing kirtan. There's constant stories of Lord Chaitanya always performing kirtan. Lord Chaitanya did both. Nowadays, I don't know so much about in India, but in the West, there's a mood of we like kirtan, but japa, that's too hard. It's not necessary. It's there. If you go to America, you will see such moods, right? Venkat? Yes? Am I lying? Exaggerating? It's like that. So, but Lord Chaitanya, you see him with japa beads. He's in front of the tulsi plant. There's one verse I came across where it explains that when Lord Chaitanya used to walk, he would have one of his devotees carrying a tulsi plant, and he would chant japa while he was walking, and they would carry the tulsi plant in front of him. Lord Chaitanya always chanted japa in front of the tulsi plant because tulsi is all auspicious. As we heard from Vishwambar Madhava Maharaj yesterday, how he glorifies tulsi. And the scriptures are full of the glorifications of tulsi. How merciful she is. So we take shelter of the holy name. And Prabhupada said, when you chant in front of tulsi, the quality of your japa will improve. So there's so many things we can do to access. And that's what we want. We want quality chanting. Because Srila Prabhupada says, you're actually chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you will say 16 rounds. Why not 16,000 rounds? In other words, the taste that comes from the holy name is so powerful and so wonderful that you're thinking, why should I stop? Why should I stop? In the West now, in order to get people back to Krishna consciousness, they've started these things called the Japa Retreat programs. Yes, have you gone to one of those? Yes, I also went. Anybody else go to the Japa Retreat programs? Anyone? Yes, you in India or in the West? They have them here too. Ah, very good. Sachinandana Swami. Burijan Prabhu, in Vrindavan. Yes, that's right, in Govardhan Vrindavan they do it. It's wonderful. I remember I went to my first japa retreat last year, last April. I went to the second level. They have two levels, first level for those who are just beginning the retreats, and second level. I cheated, I went right to the second level. Because I couldn't make the first level schedule. That's why. And the second level, the only difference between the first level and the second level is that there is a 6-day program. And then the second level, there's 2 days you chant 64 rounds. And in those 2 days, you don't talk. You can't talk. So you chant 64 rounds those days. So, of course, there's a lot of discussion on the holy name, glorifications of the holy name, and different realizations on the holy name. But it centers around, really, just quantity chanting. Because quantity brings quality. Quantity actually brings quality. So we were chanting. And it's like that. When you start chanting more and more and more, even though there's some difficulties, tension is not, you're struggling. As we stay with japa and just keep chanting, the holy name just starts to manifest. And we're speaking to all the devotees who came to these programs, and they say, yes, it's just like when you get up to around 40 or 50 rounds, 60 rounds, you just want to keep going. One devotee chanted 132 rounds that day instead of 64. No, yeah, 128, I'm sorry, he doubled it. He did 128. So this is Krishna's name. It's so attractive. So we should be shooting to become more and more attached to chanting, more and more dependent on the holy name for everything. because this is really our life and soul. Association with Vaishnavas, serving Vaishnavas, and chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. We do so many other things, but these other things that we do are really based on the quality of our chanting and our Vaishnava association, really. Everything centers around these two aspects of devotions. That's why Lord Chaitanya emphasized these. Although there are five very powerful processes, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the form of the Lord in his deity, and living in a holy place, associating and serving Vaishnavas, and chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya emphasizes these two, chanting the holy names in association. He performed the others, but you can see where he put the emphasis. And we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are in his teachings. Whatever we practice is coming from Rupa Goswami, and whatever Rupa Goswami is giving is coming directly from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The practice, the philosophy, the culture of bhakti. It's all there. So this Maha Mantra is really our life and soul. It is everything. Therefore, we should try to always take shelter of Krishna in the form of his name. In the old days, devotees showed Prabhupada one cartoon. It was an old lady and an old man. The old lady she's kind of yelling at the old man, who's her husband, "Chant, chant, chant." In the next caption, you see it's a little cartoon. And the man saying, "Can't, can't, can't." No time. There's no time for anything else, but there's always time for chanting. We always have time for chanting. Okay, I'll stop here. We're supposed to finish by 9:30. Is there any questions? Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the very nice class. You gave this example of this Mataji who was a pujari, and eventually she lost her taste for devotional service because she was not able to chant. So once one devotee had approached me saying that I'm able to chant a few extra rounds. I'm also able to hear a certain amount of time. But when it comes to reading, I'm somehow not able to focus my mind. You know, I fall asleep the moment I take up the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and he also gave a justification that nowhere Prahlad Maharaj says that we have to read. We can hear, but we have to chant, but nowhere we have to read. So, I mean, I personally also have the same problem, so I was not able to give him an answer. So, I was just wondering how to respond to this sort of...
Where's the sloka about reading? Is that one... Bhakti Vishwambar Madhava Maharaj quoted it yesterday. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 25, verse 278. That one, the body becomes very strong by eating food grains. And then, but simply by making the body strong through the process, one has to actually engage in devotional service. And Prabhupada goes into the purport, and Prabhupada says that we have published so many books, Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, I'm saying, my devotees should read all my books. And if they don't read all my books, then eventually they will... But we say, go return to eating and sleeping and lose the opportunity for transcendental life. So Prabhupada wanted it because he knew, although Prabhupada did say at other times that chanting is enough, but Kali Yuga is so, what we say, complicated. Maya is so intricate that unless we have some clear understanding of how to practice devotional service and how to avoid the pitfalls of Maya we can easily become deviated. That's why to have a clear understanding of the philosophy keeps one in the direction of the process of devotional service. And reading strengthens the intelligence, it sharpens the mind. So just as an exercise for strengthening the intelligence and sharpening the mind, reading is important. Another feature of reading is that if you want to speak, if you want to preach, Prabhupada said, preacher means reader. So if you want to be a preacher, if you want to preach the glories of the Lord, it's easy. Just read. And whatever you read, just repeat. And once you read enough, you become inspired to repeat. And then when you repeat, you start to remember. And then as you remember, realizations start to develop. So the process is to hear. So two aspects of hearing. We can hear from one who is speaking, or we can also hear from Srila Prabhupada directly in his books. When you're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you're associating with Prabhupada. Prabhupada also answered the question, how will we associate with you, Srila Prabhupada, once you depart from us? Prabhupada said, I'm in my books. You read my books and you can associate with me directly. So Prabhupada's books are none different than him. These purports, Prabhupada said, are my bhakti vedanta and are my ecstasies in devotional service. So everyone has to chant. There's no doubt. But one should at least attempt to read on some level. Take some time and read. Maybe a half hour a day, an hour a day. Just practice. Just like there was one, Prabhupada says, one should systematically read Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with the first canto and going up to the later cantos. So one time one person approached me and said, Maharaj, you know, I can't read Bhagavatam. I says, why? Person said, well, it's so hard to start and read systematically. I says, you're not reading at all. And they said, yeah. I said, well, if you can't do it systematic, at least do something. It's better if you can't follow the systematic process of reading Bhagavatam, then as a result you don't read at all because you can't do it systematically. Then better to find some section of the Bhagavatam which you might find interesting and then read that. And as you develop an interest, then you can go back to the beginning. The recommended way is this way, but it's not that you have to do it that way or not read at all. So we can pick a pastime, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, Bart Maharaj, and then read a particular leela and get inspired in that way. Practical. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.